Well, we are going to talk about something today that is every person's issue.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. In one way or another, we have all experienced rejection in our life. And so that's something that we want to talk about. We want to encourage people. We want to talk about how to reject the pain that rejection wants to bring in our lives. So let me just start. How would you guys describe, anybody, how would you describe what rejection does in your heart? Like, what does it feel like? What does it do to you? Because the implications of it are huge.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I can start by saying what it felt like to me recently was to my heart. This is how I described it. I just recently went through divorce. And what I told people, I was like, how do you feel? Well, I was like, well, it feels like he literally cut my chest open, grabbed my heart, and scraped it against burning asphalt and then tried to put it back inside. Like, seriously, that's the pain that rejection felt like for me, because it was so unexpected and so very painful. So I know that was a little graphic, but that's how I felt.
Yeah. Oh, I get it, because it can be that emotional and a physical pain as well. I mean, it'll just wreck your whole body, won't it?
Yeah, I could physically feel pain.
Like,
yeah.
Well, God has created us for acceptance.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm. I mean, that's our godly DNA. We all want to be accepted. And so when you're not accepted, it's always painful. And unless you really learn who you are in Christ, which we'll talk about today, you begin to do whatever you think you need to do to be accepted, which if you're not careful, you end up with everybody else running your life.
Yeah.
And you having no life because you're not making any of your own decisions. You're doing whatever you think they want you to do.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
So they will like you and be pleased with you.
Yeah. This drive to avoid rejection is huge.
Yeah.
It is powerful. Like, most of us will do anything to avoid rejection. Don't you think, Chris, have you had that experience in your life?
I think rejection is what I would call my Achilles heel. And I think, you know, how I was conceived, the fact that I was left in a hospital unnamed and unwanted when I was born, there was that rejection. And I'm 55 this year, and just I recently, you know, God has done such a great healing work in my life. But a couple of years ago, I experienced this betrayal from a friend that I just wasn't, you know, David, I was thinking this, Joyce, when we were telling this story yesterday, the psalmist said, it would have been okay if it was my enemy that was against me, but when it was my friend that I went to the house of the Lord with. And that psalm has given me great solace, because otherwise I would have thought, why did it impact me? But it's almost like it triggered such a deep level of rejection again, going, I thought I've worked through a lot of this, and I have, and I knew to go to the Word, but that visceral pain, there was this one night that I felt like this visceral pain. And then in that moment, the Holy Spirit was like, Christine, I'm healing an even deeper level from right when I was in my mother's womb and obviously conceived, you know, however God meant it to happen, but it wasn't planned in obviously my biological mother and father's plan. And so the thing is, that rejection is like an Achilles heel. So you can have visceral reactions. And I think if I hadn't learned, and again, I'm going to say your teaching probably has done more in my life to bring healing, the root of rejection. Like, if I read that 100 times, I'm probably not even exaggerating, because I have had to revisit it and revisit it. Because if the enemy could have short-circuited my purpose in any way over these last 30 years, it would be over that issue.
Well, let's start there. So we're going to start with a quick clip from Joyce talking about this rejection and the root of it and what it does in our lives, and then we'll all come back and talk about it a lot more. Take a listen.
When you are a rejection-based person, or you're afraid of rejection, if everybody doesn't agree with you, you feel rejected. And so if Dave and I were trying to have a conversation, if he didn't agree with me, then I didn't know how to separate who I was from my opinion. And so I had to learn that just because he disagreed with my opinion didn't mean he was rejecting me. He could reject my opinion and still love me. And that was such a major thing to me. So maybe you need to think about that. If you can't seem to talk to people or a certain person without blowing up in anger all the time, then ask God to help you get to the root of it, and maybe ask God, do I have, how do I feel when somebody disagrees with me? Do I feel insulted? Do I feel like they think I'm stupid? Do I feel like they don't respect me? Do I feel like I'm being rejected? And learn how to be a person in Christ who is loved and valued, and separate that from what you think and what you do and all those other more exterior things. Does anybody in the building think that maybe you're still dealing with a little root of rejection in your life? That was a lot of people, but you know, if you stick around, we'll have something for everybody. Roots. Where there's rotten fruit, there's a rotten root somewhere along the line. And sometimes you got to go before the Lord and say, I don't care if you have to completely tear my life apart. I want to get to the bottom, to the root of why I'm angry, why I get so angry. Why do I get mad every time I don't get my way? Why are my emotions out of control? Why do I waste so many days in self-pity? Amen?
So everyone is saying, oh, I don't want to do that. I don't want to go there. Why did she say that? But you're so right. I mean, if we don't allow the pain of dredging some things up, then the fruit is going to keep coming out the way we don't want it to.
I asked the Lord one time why it hurts so bad to get well.
Wow.
You know, because it's like you get hurt getting all messed up. And so why is it when you want to get well that it hurts so bad? And he taught me what he called doorways of pain. You know, like when my father abused me, I went through a doorway of pain, so I got a little deeper into bondage. When my mother didn't help me, when she abandoned me, then that was like another doorway of pain. And so you have to confront each one of those things.
Yeah. Oh, gosh.
You know, whether it's you just confronting it in your mind with you and God, or, but usually in order to get us to confront things, God will have to lovingly put together a situation.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like you had this situation. Yeah. Mm-hmm. There was something in there that God wanted to come out that would eventually make you freer.
Right.
But
you nearly killed me in the process.
Yeah. Well, it did. Yeah.
And that's what it literally feels like.
Yeah. You know, I said one time something, I was going through something with Dave when I was trying to learn how to be a submissive wife.
I
have so learned that now. But I said, oh, God, this is killing me. And he said, that's exactly right. You know, we are supposed to die to self.
Yeah.
But God's got this little toolbox that he uses, and it is all in love. It's ultimately to set us free.
Right.
But I don't think you can get over pain without going through some pain to confront it, and a lot of people don't understand that.
Yeah.
So then when it starts to hurt, they start to back off.
Mm-hmm. You know, I was just thinking, when you said that, I remember when I snapped my ACL in my ski accident, and I had knee surgery, the doctor came in, the PT, right after the surgery, and he said, you know, Christine, most people don't recover fully, because I blew my knee totally out. He said, from your kind of accident, he said, it's not that they can't. He said, in fact, with the hamstring graft, your right knee is now stronger than your left knee. But the pain of the injury, it happened quickly. You had a ski accident. It was painful, but it happened quickly. He said, but it's going to take at least 6 months of recovery. And the pain of recovery is going to far outweigh the pain of the injury. Oh, so, and he, right. I remember these words he said, so Chris, you can either recover quickly or slowly, completely or partially. It's entirely up to you. Mm-hmm. The degree to which you are willing to embrace the pain of recovery is the degree to which you'll recover.
That's a very good example to use, because it's, I mean, if you fall down and really skin your knee real bad, it hurts. But it almost hurts worse when it starts to form a scab.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
And you know, you have to leave it alone and just let it do what it's
so
doing.
So hard not to pick at it, to try to get it to go away. Right.
Yeah. But that's what causes scars.
Right.
Mm. Yeah. Picking at it.
When we pick at our wounds and just get them bleeding all over again.
Yeah. I was just with a family that their daughter had gone through some emotional rejection and some pain, even in a church. And it had caused her so much emotional pain that it was causing her physical pain that she had to actually go through trauma therapy. Yeah. In her trauma therapy, they actually put her through pain to help her renew her mind. And they say a lot of parents don't allow their kids to actually finish the treatment because it's too painful to watch. But then it doesn't, it's something that triggers in their brain to renew their mind, you know, that they have to have that physical pain, like even if it's like strapping them up. Or I was like, wow, that sounds crazy. But then I immediately thought about my personal life and I was like, well, isn't that, it's just what you guys are talking about.
Right.
You have, in order to renew your mind, sometimes, if you know, you need to go through something to actually go through it and your mind can get refreshed.
It's like you can't be set free from fear unless you confront fear.
Right. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so it's the same way with any kind of an emotional injury, you have to confront it. And so sometimes God, in his grace and mercy, sets up a situation that forces you to confront it because we're not likely to do it just by choice.
Right. You know? Yeah. So rejection is a little bit different than maybe when you talk about abuse. I think, well, I haven't experienced anything like that. You know, I didn't have a situation like you girls did where I had that kind of abuse, but I've had certainly situations of rejection that hurt to the core, that were so unexpected, that were friends, that, you know, whatever it may be in your life. And so the pain from that surprises me. Sometimes I think I'm just being such a baby. You know, I just need to let this go. And sometimes I'm right. I am. But also, I think there are a lot of our friends who are listening, watching right now, who think, well, you know, I haven't been through this, but I still really hurt, you know, because rejection is really hard.
And it's because we're not created for that.
Yeah.
We're created for love and acceptance. And so as long as you're, anytime you get rejected, it's going to hurt. But you know, a scripture, I hope I have the reference right. I think it's Luke 10:16. Jesus said, if they reject you, they reject me.
I love that verse. I mean, it makes you feel not alone.
Yeah, well, it kind of is like he takes our rejection personally.
Right,
yeah.
He was rejected, despised and rejected and hated for no reason at all. They hated him without a cause. I think that's one of the saddest scriptures in the Bible. They hated me without a cause. Yeah. And there are people that are just, they're haters. And they're going to hate you because you're successful. They're going to hate you. If you look better than they do, they're going to hate you. If you have a nicer house than they do, there's just people like that. So we have to learn that not everybody is going to like us, but God always loves us and learn how. That's why I love what the Bible says. Even though my mother and my father have rejected me, the Lord will take me up and adopt me.
It's beautiful.
And so I don't know. I will never know what it's like to sit on your dad's lap or to go to your dad for advice or to enjoy going to family dinner at mom and dad's. But I don't even know what I missed in my childhood because I have nothing to compare it to. I never had it. But I do trust the word that God will give me something much better.
Yeah.
And that, you know, that's really people's only hope. I mean, you can go through all kinds of other stuff, but God's the only one that can restore you and heal you in a way that you can. I don't like being rejected even today. Mm-hmm. Nobody likes it. And especially if it's a friend or somebody that you love, it's really hard. But you can recover from it because Jesus went through it.
Yeah.
And if he went through it and came out okay on the other side, we can too.
My Bible I had from high school, all of those places where Jesus faced rejection, they are highlighted and circled and starred. And because I just remember even then going through that and thinking, you know, he gets it.
Yeah.
That is a huge thing, is that he gets it and he gets me and he's felt it as well.
Yeah.
And so that was huge for me. And I know, Erin, for you too, you've talked about similar things that you had to face.
I'm having this really interesting experience over here listening to you guys. I knew this is what we were going to talk about today. And I was like, yeah, I've experienced rejection. I'm good. And I've seen God work through me. And as we're sitting here talking, I'm like, no, I don't know that I am. I don't think in the past year I've experienced some of this. And I thought I was good.
Yeah.
And now I'm hearing, like, you say stuff. And I'm like, I don't know that I am. I think there's some things that I need to go back and go through that pain again.
But maybe you're going to get another level of good.
But I don't want to do another one. I got enough levels here, Joyce. I'm good. No, I know I want what you're saying. I want to go to the next level. I thought I was good, but yeah. maybe this is God saying, no, Aaron, let's do this again.
Yeah, let's heal.
Let's go deeper.
Let's go deeper. And I know we've talked a lot about the rejection that you've even experienced, like even in high school. And,
yeah.
And like that stuff's triggering, you know, to think about it. Because I think about my daughter. We were having conversations, like just simple conversations that seem kind of petty, but they're real, right?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
And I had to tell her now, I was like, I'm going to be 40 this year, and I just got people that I think are my real friends. You know, everybody's like,
we are.
You are. I think. No,
yeah. Me too, right?
Yeah, so I'm like, I have my tribe now, but I missed that in high school because everyone had that. But she was like in a text strand with some groups of girls, and she was like, Mom, why doesn't anyone ever respond when I say something? Mm-hmm. I can ask a question. She's like, they're all cackling, chatting about the dumbest stuff, right? Like boys or different things. She's just really not. She's like, I'll laugh, like I'll put like a ha ha, or you know, or like a little smile emoji. She's like, but whenever I say anything, mm-hmm. you know, she's like, they don't say anything. And she's like, and sometimes they're mean to people, and I might come in and say, like, why are we saying that? That's not really nice. I'm like, well, you're kind of a buzzkill. Like, you're a Christian. Like,
right.
You are, like, she's like the
Christian equal buzzkill.
I'm sorry. Like, she's the one that's like, don't say mean things about people. And then they're all like crickets. And she's like,
well,
and then
good for her.
I mean, I'm proud of her, but
it hurts.
It's hard. Like, she literally, like, her eyes would well up. She's just like, this happens to me all the time. I don't know if I have my tribe or have people that really like me. But
we'll
I'm like, you're going to get them. Just keep the faith and stay strong. But that rejection, that stuff digs deep. And I'm just praying like that it doesn't keep going. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like when you have different people just keep rejecting you.
You don't want her to be scarred from it.
Exactly. So
it's crazy because what I've experienced recently, like it puts me back in eighth grade.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So that's exactly where I go, is that moment in eighth grade where I felt like I was nobody and had no friends and nothing. And it's crazy how I am a 34-year-old woman, and I still go back to being a middle school girl in those moments.
And I think that is real. I think this conversation is so timely. Our social media world. I've got a high schooler, and now the eldest has gone to college. But I'm watching it in real time. I'm looking at my life in real time. I'm watching social media, and I'm thinking the enemy is having a field day. You know, he comes into the garden, shame and rejection, bang, Genesis. Hasn't changed, just how it looks changes. And here's the challenge for a lot of us and our people listening. There's two sides. And Joyce, again, I think you've taught me this. I wish it didn't take me this long to realize it. So we might be helping someone right now. In our generation and out there, everything's about find your tribe, find your community, we're almost creating another idol of community and tribe. And this is what I'm concerned about because I'm watching it on socials because now you call people out in real time, you cancel people in real time. It's actually before.
Yeah.
You know,
you cancel me.
But that's what they do. You've been canceled.
But you know, but it's like that, isn't it? Like all out there. So
absolutely.
You've got before, at least if I wasn't invited to the party on Friday night, I didn't know until Monday because I had to go back to school. There was no internet in my day. Okay, now though,
now
Friday I'm sitting in my room and I'm scrolling through and everyone's posting. So for a kid, not just a kid, any of us,
it's traumatic.
On a minute. Why was I not on that thread?
And
so the enemy is having a field day and I think we are almost creating this thing all over again. And certainly what I went through a couple of years ago was like, hang on a minute, maybe I still haven't relied ultimately on God alone. I don't mean to be disconnected from humans, but at the end of the day, no human being is going to give you what only God can give you.
That's
and
right. Yep.
It's almost like you've got to keep learning it and learning it and learning it. And in our day and age, with all the social stuff that is happening, this sort of tribe community vibe, find your people, I think there's almost such an overemphasis on it that we're still not directing people to Jesus.
I think it's a very good point. I've never heard anybody talk about it like that, but I spend a lot of time by myself.
Yeah.
I have to do that to do what I'm doing. And sometimes I actually think, I even prayed about it this morning. It's like, is there something wrong with me? You know, that I don't feel that I need a village or a tribe. You know, it's like, I mean, I love people. I have friends. But I don't need to be with somebody all the time to feel loved and accepted because, you know, when God calls you, there is, to a certain degree, he's separating you away from other things unto himself. And sometimes if you're hearing from too many people, you really can't hear from God. And when God called me to do what I'm doing, right away, I got rejected. By all the people that I knew at that time. And when I left the church that I worked in for 5 years, I got rejected by all the people that I knew at the time. And people have to understand that rejection is from the devil, and he uses it to keep you from making progress. You can almost expect it on every level that you're on. When God's ready to promote you to the next level, the devil will launch an attack of rejection against you. To get you so focused on what's wrong with you that you really can't go forward.
Because when you're rejected, you go inward. And all you can see is how terrible you are, or all the faults that you have. I'm not pretty enough. I'm not smart enough. And so that's all you see.
Because, you know, when God first called me,
I can't do anything else.
When God first called me, one of the hardest things I dealt with was I was just flat out lonely. Because I was used to being a part of a tribe at the church, and we had our group, and everything the leadership did, I was part of it, and we went on retreats, and we did this, and we had dinners, and all of a sudden, I wasn't invited anymore, and I hadn't really met other people yet, and I was just flat-out lonely. And every time I would try to get in, like, a Christian group of ministers or something, I mean, honestly, it was ridiculous. I mean, it was just like God would not allow it. And I really came to the point where I understood that God wanted some time with me to make me what he wanted me to be and not to be so influenced, because I was insecure enough at that time that I would have been influenced by all these other people to think, oh, that's the way I need to do it.
I've had that same experience where, for whatever reason, you go through seasons in your life where people are just kind of stripped away. And you begin to realize it's because I have to focus on my relationship with Christ right now. It's the only place I'm going to get what I need. And God's making sure that I do this, whether I like it or not. Especially. And that desire to avoid rejection is so strong. Have any of you ever been this bad? This is how bad I've been. There have even been times that I'll reject people before they can reject me.
Ooh,
beat
to the punch.
Absolutely.
You're like,
I don't want to cancel people. No. But no, that's like, if I start to see something happening, then I'll think, okay, I'm fine without them. And, and then you react to things that haven't even happened yet because of the way you're thinking.
That's so true.
Here's a crazy, funny story, just to lighten the mood a little bit. I was on a walk the other day in our neighborhood, and I love our neighborhood. The people are great. They're really friendly. The houses aren't real close together, so I'm walking along, and I'm thinking there's nobody around, you know, and I feel like this little burp coming up. And so it's just me and the dog, right? So,
thank God it's just a burp.
Yeah, it was a burp. Yeah, it was coming up, not down. So anyway, there's no one around, right? I just let out this belch, right, as I'm walking. And it was a good one. It was loud.
Nice.
And this man, this neighbor, pops up from behind a bush. He's out doing yard work, so I couldn't see him. And so he looks at me, and I look at him. And you know what I did to avoid the embarrassment and the rejection? I looked at my tiny 10-pound dog, and I said, oh, my Winston, are you okay? I said, that was really big. Are you all right? And then I look at him and laugh.
Oh, my gosh.
How sad is that, that you'll lie and blame it on your dog to avoid all the neighbors talking about Ginger walking and burping around our neighborhood?
That's good. That's very good.
But that is how strong it can be, that we'll reject each other first, we'll lie, we'll do whatever we have to do to avoid the hurt of other people rejecting us.